Syria. Slowly, refugees were trickling in until by late August, the park Maximilian by Gare du Nord was filled with thousands of people who were refugees. People who had to leave the terror and the horror that is still going on in Syria. People who had lost everything. People who had had bombs drop on their homes. People who had been gassed. People who were afraid for their lives. And many, many, many young men, those were the ones that we at All Saints helped the most, young men whose mothers said, leave this country, or you will either be killed or forced to join the military and do the same horrible things that are being done to us. And so the refugees poured in, and they had lost their homeland. And they had lost the hope of pursuing an education and living a normal life. So we know a little bit from what we saw of those refugees, what it's like to be refugees. And today, our first reading was a reading of God sending a vision to refugees. A vision of God being sent to Ezekiel to help these people who had lost everything. Who, like those people from Syria, and now we know from South Sudan and from many other places, don't know if they can ever go back to their homes. Know that their friends and loved ones, many have been murdered, and most are suffering. And in that condition, they live and they wonder, are we done? Is life as we have ever known it ended? Can we never return? Is it all lost forever? Can't we worship where we grew up believing in God? God sent the vision to Ezekiel, the vision which gave hope. It was a vision, as we know, probably the most famous thing in all of Ezekiel, a vision of a valley filled with bones. And God says to Ezekiel, you can change that valley of bones. Prophesy to it. And Ezekiel follows God's instructions and prophesies, and the bones come together and form skeletons. And then God says, prophesy some more. And skin grows, and muscles grow, sinews appear, and the bones come together into the bodies of human beings. This is a vision, it didn't really happen, but he sees this. Bodies lying in this field in front of him. But they're just bodies lying. It's not enough. It's not enough to get them up and give them hope. So God says, now prophesy to the spirit. Call upon me to send the breath into them. And Ezekiel does. And the winds blow, the four winds come from all directions and blow life into those bones, into those skeletons, those bodies, and they stand up and walk. And God says, with my breath, you can. You may think you've lost everything, but with my breath of the Spirit, you can live and have hope. The breath comes, and they live. They have new hope, and eventually, 600 years later, they are back in their homeland, but things are not the same as before. They're living under Roman occupation. and they are suffering. And although they're back in their homeland and they have their worship, the Roman occupation is making life difficult when God sends Jesus Christ into our world. And Jesus teaches us that wherever we are, wherever we live, wherever we are sent, whether by choice or because we are refugees, we can always have the love of God breathed into us. We can always have it because God's love is not in a particular place, it's in our hearts. The Holy Spirit breathes love into our hearts, and when hate seems to win out over love, as it did when he hung on the cross, Jesus came back from the dead with still more love and hope for all people, everywhere. But of course, he couldn't stay in our world in person forever, and he knew this, and we heard in the gospel today how he had to tell his followers that after he was not here in person, that breath would come back into them, into their hearts. He knew his followers had to carry his message of love to the rest of the world. And so just as God gave the vision of the breath of life to Ezekiel, Jesus told his friends it would come. And then last week, you remember, he ascended to heaven, and they were without him. His followers, not just 12, but 10 times 12, 120, were gathered together when wind and fire came into the room, into the place where they were gathered. And the Holy Spirit filled them. And suddenly they were speaking boldly and faithfully, telling of the mighty acts of God. So you know we call this the birthday of the church. Because before that day, they were not really alive with faith. They were like those bones in the valley, not filled with enough courage and hope to share the message of the resurrection and the message of God's love in Jesus with the world. We decorate our church. We decorate the church in red because it reminds us of fire. And there were the tongues of fire of the Holy Spirit. But it's also red because the fire of the Holy Spirit gave the followers of Jesus, gives us the courage and the words and wisdom to go out and risk telling the world of Jesus' way. And when you do that, you will run into opposition. And you may even be killed for it, as people are this very day. And so the red is also red of the blood of the martyrs. But we usually forget, as we have all this red and these tongues of fire around us, we forget about that wind part. This year, with the reading from Ezekiel, we're reminded of the wind part. And it's a powerful symbol. And it doesn't just speak to refugees. It speaks to us in our lives. We use all sorts of expressions which show that we know that the breath of God, the breath of the Spirit, matters. Ruach. We love saying that word. It's the only word in Greek a lot of us remember from studying and seminary. Ruach, the wind of the Holy Spirit. We need that wind in our lives. We will say, for example, he breathed his last. When someone's life ends, we know that breath is associated with really life. We say, she breathed new life into something. When something seemed hopeless, someone did something to make it suddenly be a success. We'll say, he got a second wind when he was about to give up and he felt weak. This happens to me when I'm running all the time. Oh, I can't go any further. I'm going to walk home. But then something happens and I have the breath. Something mysteriously changes so we're able to continue because we get a second wind. We say, she is a breath of fresh air. When someone comes along with ideas and energy that help us see things a new and joyful way. We'll say, it knocked the wind out of my sails. When we think things are going well, and something happens, and suddenly we don't have the energy or the courage to carry on anymore. And perhaps best of all, we speak of moments that take your breath away. There's a quotation that goes around to places, and the internet cannot agree on who said this first. So I won't give credit to anyone, but life is not measured by the number of breaths we take, but by the moments that take our breath away. On this Feast of Pentecost, we celebrate the Holy Spirit. Of the three ways that we know God, which we celebrate next week, Spirit is the one we have trouble explaining. We can look at the beauty of nature and know that God, the Creator, Father, the Mother, the Maker of everything, is one part. We know who Jesus was, what he did, what he taught. And so we know that part. But for explaining the Holy Spirit, we have to use symbols. Symbols which communicate something ordinary words can. And while we celebrate the fire normally, this is the year when we remember the symbol of the wind. The wind blew into the room with the disciples. When the wind of the Spirit blows into your life, you can't sit still. You are sent to spread the love of God with all the world. This day, as we celebrate, we pray also, God, send us that